Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this new year. And again, new opportunities to become more faithful in our calling, to know your purpose, to know your heart. We praise you for that, Father, and we thank you that we are on the threshold of tremendous things, things that are far beyond our comprehension. So, Father, we just acknowledge the fact that we need your Spirit today and every day in order to know you and to know your purpose for our lives. And in that, we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm doing a teaching entitled Called, Chosen, and Faithful. And it's, again, perfect timing in the sense that this just kind of rolled up within me. It's, of course, something we've been studying for years and learning to walk in for years. But if there was ever a time where every Christian needed to have eternal perspective, this is it. Because the fact is that the fullness of the Father's plan is going to unfold in this time, in these days. And as I mentioned in the prayer earlier, we are going to need eternal perspective. We are going to need the Holy Spirit in order to even begin to comprehend what's going on in this last hour. And we are going to need to be filled and consumed with the Holy Spirit just in order to be acclimatized to the great manifestation of God's presence that's going to manifest in the midst of all those who truly love him. So we're going to look at some scriptures today, quite a few scriptures actually, and quite a few in the Amplified. I just really gave you the references on the sheet, but as I was studying this, I just realized that there are some very precious scriptures in the Amplified dealing with this whole topic of our consecration and our calling. So we'll look at those today and just see where the Lord takes us in those. You can open up to Ephesians 5, first of all. It's one of the few I'm doing outside the Amplified. Again, in this hour, you know, we've talked so much about the glorious church, and I know that we've been given a continually deeper revelation of what that means. I'll just read the scripture. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Now this is the whole concept that every Christian who truly loves God needs to be grasping in this time. And we've talked about holiness, we've talked about faithfulness, we've talked about walking in love. But now is the time where God is going to put it all together in the midst of those who truly love him. And so we need to be ready. We need to, again, have that eternal perspective. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time looking out on different things apart from what could be considered accuracy. But I know that there's a lot of inaccuracy out there. And I know that there's still a lot of misconceptions about what the true Christian life really means. And so consequently, God is raising up a people who are going to shine a bright light into the midst of all that deception and darkness. And every last Christian or every last child of God walking the face of this earth is going to have an opportunity to enter in to the fullness of God's purpose for their life. They are going to have that opportunity. Many have already forsaken that opportunity. I don't understand why, but that's not the topic today. The fact is that God is going to raise up a remnant, is raising up a remnant, that is going to shine forth a tremendous light, and it's going to bring each person to that point of absolute decision. So as we're pursuing the fullness of God's calling for our lives, then we need to realize that we have great purpose in this last hour, and it's extremely important. First of all, because we love God with all our heart, and secondly, because He needs us to fulfill His purpose in the lives of so many others. And, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And we certainly have been given much. And just defining the word church, I think that's important, because I'm not so sure that many have a revelation of what that really truly means to us. And consequently, church becomes something far below what God intended its purpose for. The original word is ecclesia in the Greek. And the amazing thing is that word was used well before Christ came into the earth in Greek society. And it's defined as a calling out and assembling together for a definite purpose. Of course, it was really for a political purpose in those days, and for the purpose of discussing philosophy and so forth. But, of course, that word fits in perfectly with God's plan for the church, for His people, because we are called out of the world, and we are called to assemble together by in and by the Holy Spirit, and always for a definite purpose. I'm not sure who said it, but they said it well. God always has a purpose in everything He does. He doesn't do anything without establishing His purpose. And, of course, we are the vessels of the establishment of that purpose. So we're going to look at some scriptures then in the Amplified, and again, just go where the Spirit takes us. First one is Philippians 3, and this is, of course, is a famous letter, again, that Paul wrote concerning consecration, concerning the absoluteness of what our desire should be as far as God's concerned, as far as our calling is concerned. The amazing thing is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the deepest work of the cross in us, then He will bring us to the place where these things become a spontaneous manifestation in our life. And up until this time, there's been much striving in the church towards holiness, much striving after the purpose of God in one's own strength. And it has caused a mess, because this whole thing begins with God, it's God all the way in between, and it ends with God. And until the Christian receives that revelation, and it's burning in their heart, then they're going to continue to strive in their own strength. But those days are ending. And the fact is that, again, God is raising up a people who will abide in holiness, and consequently, He will be able to do whatever He wants to do in our midst, and it will cause the world to be turned upside down just to begin with. But it will also, and most importantly, fulfill His perfect purpose for the church. In that scripture, it said that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory. In other words, in all the fullness of what He intended for her, in representing Him perfectly in all things, having no spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and blameless. So, again, we need to keep these things are spiritual reality. And the fact is that people can read the scriptures and they can mentally assent to them or continue to, but if they do in this hour, they're going to go further and further into darkness. And we've seen that, of course. We've seen people mentally assent to scriptures to the point where they've just shoved them aside and taken them right out of the Bible in many areas. And consequently, there are many, many people still having darkness imparted to them every time they enter a church. And that is, of course, an abomination in the sight of the Father. But He's going to do something about it. Because there isn't one thing that the devil schemed or he's planned or he's even been able to accomplish so far in the midst of God's people that God's not aware of, that He doesn't have a great intention to devastate and destroy that. Now, if people still want to align themselves with the devil, then that's their business. Because that's what He's coming to judge. He's coming to judge all that's apart from Christ, you know, beginning with rebellion, of course, and that, of course, is the root of what Satan is all about. And so the fact is, He's coming to judge rebellion, and so if people align themselves, that's where the judgment will fall. The same presence that will manifest so greatly in this earth will be a tremendous empowerment and blessing to those whose hearts are wholly given to Him. Same presence, same word, different manifestation. It all depends on the alignment of the heart in this last hour. So we need to be those who are pure in heart. So Paul, in the Amplified, in Philippians 3, beginning of verse 7, he says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss. That's a good revelation. to really be able to see that the works of the flesh, that the mindsets of the flesh are total futility. In other words, there's not one way we can approach something in the flesh and expect to have good results. But how great the deception has been, really due to the lack of a trust of God in the past. Because, you know, the things I'm talking to you about now, these deceptions that Satan, these strongholds that Satan has been able to maintain in the midst of many hearts, are not something that people are conscious of. They should be, and they will be if they continue to seek the Lord. But the fact is that deep down in the hearts of many, there is a mistrust. And what that triggers in them is the belief, unconscious though it may be, that they have to somehow have a hold on their life. And therefore, they cannot, in that position, gain a revelation of the purpose of God, the true purpose of God, the full purpose of God. Of course, he's not going to reveal the fullness of his purpose all at once, because we'd all faint. But the fact is that as he does it step by step, then we are faithful to follow him day by day. And in doing that, we come into that deeper trust. So this is the time where if people truly love God, then they're going to have to lay down any ground of mistrust in their heart, whether they're conscious of it or not. But, you know, we all should know by now whether we're striving in the flesh to accomplish God's purpose. And the fact is that those people who are doing that willfully are moving further and further and further away from the light and into that deep darkness that's encompassing the world even now. And it's a dangerous thing. I've never seen anything more dangerous in all my years. So, spiritually speaking, it is a dangerous thing to be apart from the Word of God and to be apart from that heart or that mindset of seeking first the kingdom in all things. So we need to see the flesh and the works of the flesh as futility, as absolute futility. There is no good in the flesh. The flesh can profit nothing, and we need to see it that way. It's an absolute thing. So he said he'd come to consider it as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege. The reason I'm doing this in the Amplified this morning, because there's certain sets of words that the writer put together, such as priceless privilege. And as we meditate on those, I'll do the Amplified or the Jackson translation later. Compared to the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, those are powerful words. And of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. Now, see, this is a very, very excellent defining of what it really means to serve God. Because when we have this revelation in our heart, then, of course, we gain with each passing day a deeper reverence for God, a deeper love for him, and a deeper reverence for his purpose, not only for us, but for the church at large, the body of Christ. And so all these things work together. I've said it before, but the fact is that if we set ourselves in that place of obedience, in that place of fellowship with him, then it kicks off a lot of spontaneous reactions. And then instead of having to strive or struggle after holiness, which we do for a time and then realize that it's futile, we are able just to move on and just simply grow closer to him with each passing day. And these things that Paul has spoken here become a revelation in our heart. They're not just something that's a nice scripture to be read. There's something that drives us, that compels us in and by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. And see, really, we've been in training for so long, but ultimately there will come a day where we will step out into a realm that has not been seen so far. We've had a glimpse of it in the early church. But I'm telling you, God is going to do a work here that is so awesome. And of course, only those who are fit vessels are going to be able to partake of that work. Again, it's not because God doesn't love all of his children, because he most certainly does. But the fact is, and I had an analogy yesterday, and I was looking out the door, and I saw that hill over here, over behind Elk Trout, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you know, if you needed to get somebody or to, you know, to get somebody to carry a heavy load to the top of that mountain, you wouldn't pick somebody who was 200 pounds overweight, who probably would collapse on the way up there. You would get the most fit vessel you could find to bring it up there. So the point that he was making was the fact that in the move of God in this last hour, we need to be fit. I thought you'd like that analogy. We need to be fit. And the fact is that it doesn't mean that other person wasn't worthy to be a child of God. But as far as the purpose of God goes, they were unfit because they were not, in this case, in physical shape, but they were not in the spiritual shape to be able to go to the mountaintop and remain there. I actually wrote about that in the ministry letter. It really is a time of transition, and many things are going on that we can't even figure out. But the fact is that there is coming a day where we're going to cross a line, and it's very, very close, and we'll never look back. And it will be that non-stop supernatural activity till the end of the age. And that's fact. So, you know, this is really a glorious time. And it's good to have a revelation of what Paul also wrote when he said, rejoice always. You know, and from this passage, you know, we can see clearly the true heart attitude that is developed only, though, when people truly forsake all to follow Jesus. I mean, see, this is the whole key. Sometimes it seems, you know, that things are being repeated and repeated and repeated. But, you know, I was concerned about that at one time years ago. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said that there is no such thing as redundancy in the kingdom. And the reason is because... I could use a good laugh this morning, actually. The reason is because we need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it again until we have it. That's all that matters. So, if I keep repeating things, get that stubbornness out. No, but really, this is where a true heart attitude is developed when we truly forsake all. And again, I've talked so much about the divine requirement and loving the Lord our God with all our heart. And again, this is the key to all things. And people can debate and debate and debate, and they can discuss and discuss and discuss as far as their Christian activity goes. But unless they actually act in faith and in love towards God and towards the fullness of his purpose, they will never understand the true Christian life, and they will never be fit to partake of it on the level that God would have them partake on it. Continuing on in Philippians, for his sake I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ. Again, Paul is portraying a graphic explanation here. The words in the Greek are, that's exactly what they portray, rubbish, dregs, refuse. You know, why is it that when Paul portrays it like that, that we sometimes still partake of the things that fall into that category? It doesn't make any sense. So Paul is giving a very explicit definition here and a division in order, he says, that I may gain Christ, lose the dregs, gain Christ, the anointed one, and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the true right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. And again, you know, we've talked a lot about faith and the importance of faith. And the fact is that in any given moment, everybody is exercising faith. It's either faith in God, and faith in his word, faith in his ability to that he's watching over his word to perform it, that he wants us to come into the fullness of his purpose for our lives. See, he begins explaining that purpose, and then we spend the rest of our lives catching up with the desire to fulfill that purpose, because his desire, and one desire alone, is for every one of his children to accomplish everything he created them for. Now, that's spiritual reality, and so as we learn to exercise faith, then we come to develop a passion for his purpose as much as he has a passion for his purpose in us individually and, of course, for the entire church. So again, the importance of righteous motivation and operating entirely by his power. We're gonna deal with some more scriptures. Paul talks here of his intense desire to remain in continual right standing with God. That really simplifies things. You know, when we get the sin out of our lives, when we desire that continual right standing with God, things become much clearer. And we're able to focus in on his purpose. We're able to maintain an eternal perspective regardless of what physical circumstances we're walking in. He also talked about the fact that it's only on the basis of faith in Christ that will keep the children of God in right standing with the Father at all times. It's only faith. It's only faith. I think, well, the one thing that comes to me right now, and the one thing I believe that hinders God's people so greatly, is that they're still in that performance mode. They still have an idea that somehow they are going to impress God with their performance. And you cannot do it. God loves us as much as he's going to love us from the beginning right to the end. Now, having said that, if people do have that, then what happens is they open the door to darkness and they mentally ascend. So they try to obey God, but instead of obeying God through a revelation of his will and the unction of the Holy Spirit or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, they actually come to the place where they take something that they deem a good thing, then carry it out, believing that that will impress God. And vast multitudes are still hooked into that. And the fact is, that is the way it is in the world. The world doesn't know anything other than that. Everything is based on performance. And of course, you know, I'm not going to go into depth in this right now, but the fact is that, you know, we're either living our lives entirely for God and his purpose and seeking after his greatest glory, or we are seeking after our own desires and our own gratification, and thus we're seeking after self-glory and living for ourselves and seeking to accomplish our own agenda or purpose. See, these things are absolute. And the fact is that people are going to go on one side or the other, but there will be no fence in the middle. People will go on one side or the other. And so we need to be those who realize the spiritual reality of the true Christian life in this last hour. It's been there all along. It hasn't been hidden. It's been hidden to those who don't seek it, but it has not been hidden. It's available to all. So continuing on in Philippians, he says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly." Now, if that's not the deepest heart desire of every Christian, then something's wrong. Because it's from that place that all things come forth. You know, people want to do things, people want to have ministry. But I'll tell you, without that revelation and that desire burning within them, it's a dangerous thing. And we've seen the results of that. Understanding the wonders of his person. We're going to do that for eternity. So the Christian life shouldn't be boring here now. If people think it's boring now, I can imagine they'd have a difficult time having an eternal perspective. Because, no, it's not boring now, and it won't be boring throughout eternity. And he goes on to say, "And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers." Again, believers. People exercising faith. "And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or am already made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own." Again, the purpose of God. Called, chosen, and faithful. We're called to accomplish God's purpose. He's chosen us, and in that calling, we are called to be faithful. Full of faith. Full of faith. It's almost a haunting scripture the words that Jesus spoke, will I find faith on the earth? Well, you can do some meditation on that, and it opens up a lot of things. Why did he say that? But there are many reasons why he did, and it's true. So in this last hour, people will be operating in that absolute faith that we've talked about, or they'll be operating in faith in themselves and faith in human effort and self-effort. As the children of God seek this close relationship with the Father and His Word, they shall surely come to the full realization of His calling, and that they have been bought and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb for His purpose. I mean, one thing that's going to come forth in this last hour through those who are anointed, who are truly walking in third-day power, is the fact that when the Scriptures are put forth, they're going to explode that whole hierarchy of evil spirits, spirits of darkness, deaf and dumb spirits, all those types of spirits that have kept the people of God from receiving the Word of God in such a manner as to come into their heart and empower them from that point forth. See, all these things have been happening, and it looks like the devil is winning the day in many areas of the church. But when this anointing comes forth in the fullness that God intended it, it is going to destroy those strongholds, and it's going to leave people standing there with the ability to make a choice. They still have to make the proper choice, but they will have the ability to make it, and they will have their eyes open wide. And only those who hold to rebellion will go further into rebellion. But even the rebellious in this last hour, many will come forth out of that. I remember that scripture in Ezekiel 2 and 3. I know you're familiar with it, Bill. But one of the warnings there was that he warned Ezekiel. He said, now I'm sending you to a stubborn, rebellious people. He's saying they shouldn't be stubborn and rebellious, but they are. And so he goes on to say that. He said, I don't want you to be dismayed. He says, and I don't want you to be like them. In other words, don't bow your knee to what's going on out there. You know, you go forth, you speak what I tell you to speak, and eventually that will be broken down. And of course, that passage in Ezekiel, and he was talking to the people of Israel, but it is a type and symbol of the church for us today. And the fact is that as we go forth with pure hearts, filled with the Word of God, in this last hour, then those words are going to explode in the hearts of people, and it's going to uncover, wherever we go, it's going to uncover whatever the devil is trying to do. That's very important. You know, we really don't have to be concerned about anything else. We need to be concerned with our relationship with God and our love for God, and in that will be born a love and a compassion for God's people. To try and go out and set somebody free without the compassion of God flowing in your heart won't do, because it's compassion, the true and deep and abiding love of God, that releases the anointing. You cannot release anointing in the manner that God wants to release it without not only, first of all, having a revelation of that word, but also having the compassion of His heart. Very, very important. In the past, even in the second day, there were manifestations as the Word of God went forth, but that's because God honors His Word. But now, when He has a pure-hearted people, He is going to be able to explode again that Word out into the midst of all the darkness and all the religious spirits that have worked up until now. It's going to be a great devastation of Satan and his strongholds. And what he took 2,000 years to establish is going to fall apart very quickly and be devastated in this last hour. Again, people still have to make the choice to enter into the fullness of God's purpose for their life, but they will have that opportunity to be free, because there will be a church, a true and living vessel in the earth that will work perfectly. And it will cause these things to turn around. Philippians 3:13. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. In this hour, we have to think upward. We need to be those who are, again, we go back to Psalm 24, we need to be those who are ascending to the mountaintop. Not only ascending, but with the full intention and desire to stay there. And again, I wrote about that in the ministry letter. The fact is that it's from that place that all things will transpire.
in the true church in this last hour. And it's because of that that it's going to be a glorious church. And it's because of that that the fullness of God's purpose is going to be able to be fulfilled through that people. What else is there that could be more fitting or precious as the crown of our entire existence than to have our beloved Lord Jesus utter the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," in any given moment, not just at the end of our walk. But, you know, in the times throughout the years, there have been many times that just a simple smile or those words being spoken are a catalyst to absolutely causing a deeper desire to rise up as far as the purpose of God goes. Like I said earlier, he didn't give us the full purpose. You know, he's given us glimpses, and of course those are like birth pangs are becoming closer and closer together. And this vision is really about to unfold. But it's not so much unfolding as far as written words. It's unfolding as far as a people who are obedient, both individually and corporately, to manifest the purpose of God in all that they say and do. And, you know, there are so many things to deal with here, but I believe it's in Joshua that he said basically wherever your feet go, that's going to be holy ground. And again, these things are types and symbols for us in this last hour. When we are abiding in holiness, when we're walking, wherever God leads us to walk, then we are going to be an authority in that place. And that is an awesome thing. See, the devil's had much leeway in the past, but in these days he will not, because there will be a people, again, both individually and corporately, walking where he would have them walk and manifesting his holiness. I'm going to define that a little bit later on. It's another absolute definition. God's absolute. When you define him, it has to be absolute if it's a proper definition. Hebrews 3 in the Amplified, verse 1. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus. Powerful words, consider Jesus. The apostle and high priest whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses was also faithful in the whole household of God. And here we see the totality of Christ's ministry. And the fact is that he was faithful. And the fact is that he consecrated himself and he was set apart for one thing and one thing alone, and that was to do the will of his Father. And we're exactly the same. I mean, Jesus Christ is the perfect type and symbol of third-day ministry. I mean, Paul expounded on it, expanded it, and so on. But he walked it as the perfect type of third-day ministry. And so from all the kingdom principles that he spoke of, and through all the things that he did and all the things that he said, we can learn exactly the way he wants us to walk. Again, another revelation that's not as strong as it should be in the church. People still look at him as someplace up there far away, and unique in the sense that as it's opposed to the church. But the reality of the situation is that because of the blood of Jesus, we can walk in that place of sinlessness, and we have the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have everything that he had to accomplish the fullness of God's purpose, and so we have no excuse. Again, to whom much is given, much is required. But these things need to be a revelation in the hearts of the people who will cross our path between now and the time we leave here. Every one of us is called to a different calling in that sense. But one thing we're all called to is that we will have people brought across our path by the Holy Spirit. We will be brought by the Holy Spirit into the path of people. And if we're fit vessels, then we will be able to impart the things that we've learned, the things that we're walking in. And we are going to see so many miracles. As a matter of fact, I was given a word that as the glorious church began to take legs, there would be more miracles in the time between then and the end of this dispensation when the church is caught away than in history. Now think about that. And they're going to be awesome. They will be greater works also, as Jesus said, because they will have a profound impact on this earth. And we'll be able to reach more people. It's all coming together. It really, really is. And you know, there was three words the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me over and over again. This is a few weeks ago now. He just kept saying to me, this is it. This is it. And so, of course, that caused me to think on a number of things that he expanded to me. But the fact is, this is it. And all the things that have been prophesied and all the things that God has blessed us with in the past, we're coming to that place where we're going to be called to put it all into action. It will be a time of action for God's people who are truly serving him in this last hour. Divine action. We must at all times thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus. I mean, we see other scriptures. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Meditate in the word day and night. See, again, a divine principle, an absolute kingdom principle. And when people are obedient to this principle, it sets into motion so many things and empowers us daily to live the true Christian life. We are called and chosen to be faithful to God and to his plan for our lives. Again, the scripture in Corinthians, you know, we were bought with a great price that we might no longer live for ourselves. Can't get away from that. That almost seems to be the dividing line between where people will go on one side or the other. If they have that revelation, they will move into the fullness of God's purpose for their life. And if they don't gain that revelation, they will end up in a position of actually denying the blood of Jesus in their own life. And of course, that begins with the fact that sin's maintained. Then it goes on to deeper things and more distressing things if it's maintained. But the fact is, when people truly have a desire to remain in right standing with God, then they will be gaining an ever deeper revelation of the blood of Jesus, the importance of the blood of Jesus, the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. And so we need to be those people. Because again, that sets into motion many things in our lives, including an increasing reverence for God and for his purpose. We're called to love God with all our heart, and we're called to seek after his purpose for our lives. That's it. See, it's very simple, the Christian life, but it takes an absolute or a perfect obedience to the principles in God's word in order to maintain that and to accomplish that by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is spiritual reality. See, the wonderful thing about this hour is that there aren't going to be any false things in the true church. Why? They're going to be all exposed. Every motivation, every false motivation, every wrong motivation, every work that had its source in self, all going to be exposed. He can do it, too. Okay. Oh, by the way, that word consider, when it says consider Jesus, comes from the Latin considerare, which means to observe. Observe. John 5:30. Again, I mentioned to you earlier about the fact that the true Christian life is, not surprisingly, perfectly defined in the ministry of Jesus. And so, you know, we see certain scriptures that absolutely... I mean, if you just stop and think about what he was saying and who he was saying it to and when he was saying it, it's awesome because it's still awesome today. But, I mean, he just spoke what the Father gave him because he was planting seeds. A lot of times they had absolutely no idea what he was talking about and no way to relate to it. But you notice that only those who really, truly sought God's purpose took the time to spend time with him and stay with him. And even there was even, of course, a time there in John 6 where even the disciples considered leaving because he started talking about things that were so far beyond their comprehension. And it will be like that. It'll be like that in this time today because a lot of things that we consider simple truth now will be looked upon as very radical to people who have been religious. But nonetheless, that those words will have the capability of setting them free from that religious bondage or they will come into that area of rampant emotionalism and being totally upset because they can't understand it, don't want to understand it, and there's the dividing process taking place. So our job is to be filled with the revelation of God's word and to go and to speak and do whatever he has us do in any given moment. So Jesus says in John 5:30 in the Amplified, I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord. But as I am taught by God, who's our teacher, the Holy Spirit, and as I get his orders, I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Even as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, or right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. In other words, I'll have nothing to do with self-desire. My own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. I mean, these are outstanding words. And it really behooves any Christian to have these words burning in their heart, because he says, as I am taught by God, as I get his orders, I decide as I am bidden to decide. Now, this can actually become a reality in every Christian's life if they will allow it. There shouldn't be confusion operating. There are times when Satan tries to jam our signals, and there are times when darkness tries to enter in. But the fact is, if a Christian is truly seeking God, if they are truly seeking first the kingdom, if they are faithful to put the word first place in their lives consistently, I'm talking about a consistent basis. I'm not talking about a day on, a day off, a week on, a week off. We're talking about consistency. It's a very, very important thing in the kingdom. Because as Brady taught about, you know, whatever you feed on, that is going to grow and grow and grow. And so if we are, the more diligent we are in the things of God, the more that fire rises up for the fulfillment of his purpose, the more that desire to love him and to please him, which takes faith, is born. And so consequently, then we begin to be a people who are seeking to find out how faith works. We're seeking to be a people who in whom the force of faith is released with everything we say and do. See, all these things work together. I didn't go into that scripture today. I actually had it at one point in Romans about all things work together for those who love God, and for good for those who love God. And the fact is that a lot of people leave off the who love God, and consequently, oh, all things work together for good. No, they don't. If you sin, you're going to reap what comes from sin. You're going to reap death and darkness. The fact is, those who love God, those who obey God, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Again, you know, people, I forget who, one preacher in the early years, he would talk about, it seems like the devil has this eraser, and he just comes along, and certain people's minds, they would just erase ends of sentences in the scriptures, and the other words jump out at them, and they just grasp onto those, but they lose the whole point behind the spiritual principle by adding and subtracting words. In this passage, we find the perfect heart desire of Jesus toward the Heavenly Father, and it must be ours also. Again, this passage is excellent, because again, if the Christian has a revelation of this, then every day will bring forth a deeper reverence for the Word of God, a deeper reverence for the purpose of God for their own life and for the church. And therefore, they're in this earth as in right relationship with God and doing his will. Extremely important. This is possible. I mean, a lot of people out there get discouraged, but the fact is that all the things that God has said are possible. Why? Because he empowers us. All right, 2 Timothy 1:9. For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness. That is, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace. Unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal ages ago. I believe it was Andrew Murray defined holiness. He said, holiness can be defined as the loving nature of God separated from evil, the divine energy of which perfect righteousness and infinite love are the manifestation. That was something to chew on. But the fact is that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, it's a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. That means in all that we say and do, we are going to manifest the holiness of God. We're going to manifest his character and his presence. Ephesians 4, in the Amplified, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk and lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Now, the words in the Greek there, because we picture beg, it seems like a negative type thing. But what he's doing is he's pleading with them, because what he has is a revelation of the Father's desire for every one of his children. And not only that, because it's a good thing to love God, obviously, and it's a good thing to experience the benefits of God. But the fact is that it is our purpose. It is the essence of all things. And therefore, he's saying, come into this place, come into this place of holiness, come into this place of obedience. Why? Because first of all, it's the desire of the Father's heart. And secondly, as a Christian in this earth, to be walking apart from obedience is a very dangerous thing. And that will be seen in this last hour. Because we need the fullness of what God has provided for us in Christ. Not only to be victorious, not only to overcome in all things, not only to do the purpose of God, but for every other thing. It is the very thing that we're called for, and it is an abomination. I forget who it was. It might have been Billy Graham. He said that the Christian walk in the earth without the power of the Holy Spirit is a monster in the spiritual realm. Because not only are they not fulfilling the purpose of God, they're fulfilling the purpose of Satan in order to and his purpose is to hinder the purpose of God from coming to pass. So again, these things are very, very important. And in this last hour, there's a great appeal going forth from those who know God to the people of God to say, look, get in the Word, find out what this is really about. Because this isn't, this isn't a type of thing that, we can have 2,000 or 3,000 different opinions. There's one Spirit, one faith, one holiness, one obedience, one will, both individually and corporately. And the fact is we need to be those who are fit vessels, because the key to that is that we're going to be used greatly to set people free. Really free. I'm not talking about a little healing here, a little healing there. That's going to happen, certainly. But I'm talking about actually restoring or reconciling people back into right relationship or to right relationship with God. That's the greatest thing, because once they're hooked into God, he's got them. And we can go on to the next thing. 1 Peter 1, verse 14, Amplified. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. What was our former ignorance? Or what should be a former ignorance to a Christian? Fear. Fear is what breeds ignorance and keeps one in ignorance. The fact is that as we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, then that fear is cast out. And what do we come into? Revelation knowledge. We come into a knowledge of God. We come into the fact that his love is, or that place where his love is shed abroad in our heart. So he says, don't be governed by your former ignorance. Don't be governed by fear. And of course, all the self-desires and all the junk that way, that was all rooted in fear too. We trusted in ourselves, so we went that way to try and gain security, gain peace, have purpose in life. Didn't work. So he says, don't be governed by your former ignorance, when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. And if you call upon him as your Father, who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on the earth, whether long or short. True reverence. And a lot of the things I've spoken up until this point, if the Christian acts on them and obeys the Word of God, that reverence grows daily. And then that reverence brings us into a place where we flee from unrighteousness and run into that state of righteousness and seek it at all times. Very, very important. Again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'm going to do that right now. But the fact is that it's divine empowerment. Those are the key words for every Christian this last hour. If everything apart from Christ is going to be judged, we don't want to be found walking in an empowerment that's apart from Christ, because that will be judged. So he says, you must know or recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed, from the useless or fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. again, I've said this before, but one of the great desires of the Father's heart in this last hour, of course, is to exalt the name of Jesus to the greatest degree that it's ever been exalted in the earth. That is just his desire. And part of that is a burning revelation of the blood of Jesus. The preciousness to him alone is a revelation that every Christian needs to have. And it's extremely important that we do have that because, again, that is a catalyst for actually exercising or allowing that blood to be manifested on our behalf at all times. In 1 John 1:9, it says that as we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means keep us continually in a state of righteous motivation. And, I mean, again, these things all work together for those who love him, for those who obey him. So 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us everything. You know, a lot of Christians spend a lot of time thinking, and they would save themselves a lot of time if they would just meditate on the scriptures and see what they actually say. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. See, God has granted to us in order. God does something, there's a purpose for it. His purpose was that we might become partakers of the divine nature. And there's a further purpose with that. Why do we need to become partakers of the divine nature? Of course, to relate to him and to fellowship with him, but also to represent him perfectly to a world that's sinking quickly. That you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust or through self-desire. Self-agenda. It is by divine power that we have everything provided for us pertaining to life and godliness. That's what that statement said. We shall have all we need to walk in the holiness we are called to by the true knowledge or revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ to our hearts, a knowledge which can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Again, one of those spirits that the Holy Spirit is going to knock in the head in this last hour is a spirit of mental ascension. People just flippantly taking the word in order to fit into their self-agenda, he is coming to judge that. Number one, that is total disrespect for God. So there's going to be a judgment on that. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. That comes by revelation. You'll never be certain of your calling or even that you're chosen, unless you come into fellowship with God and receive a revelation of that. And if you don't do that, you won't be faithful. So if we want to be those who are called and chosen and faithful, then we need to be in right fellowship with God. We need to be abiding in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he says, for as long as you practice these things, and what were these things? I skipped a few verses there, but really, just to summarize, the fruit of holiness and the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's encompassed in those earlier verses in 2 Peter 1, with godliness he talked about, and the fruit of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, the divine nature manifesting forth through us. If we practice those things, see, we don't practice them at our own strength, but if we are diligent, if we practice diligence, then these things will manifest in our life. And then he says, now listen to this, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And not the least of that will be a revelation of the kingdom and a revelation of the kingdom principles, because that's the foundation of all things. That is the foundation of the true Christian life. That is the foundation for us fulfilling the purpose of God. Again, both individually in our own lives and corporately in the glorious church. As true knowledge, a revelation knowledge, is established in one's heart, the divine nature will begin to flow forth, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, will be in abundant evidence in their lives. I think it was Bill that was talking about that the demonstration of the power of the kingdom. That's what the demonstration is. When you're walking in peace, when all hell is breaking loose around you and around the people there that are around you, when you walk in love, when you're not loved in return, when there's absolutely no reason to have joy, you have joy. These are forces that are released, and they are a demonstration of the power of the kingdom. It's not always just miracles and things. That is a demonstration of God's power. A miracle is just simply the intervention of God's power into a natural situation. So we're going to see a lot of miracles, but the greatest miracle is still for a person to be born again, filled with the Spirit, baptized in fire, and fulfilling God's purpose for their life. That's still the greatest miracle, and we're going to see a bunch of those. So that's important. Okay, I'm going to finish up here very quickly. I have three scriptures, and they're all in Revelation. First one, Revelation 17:14. Again, I mentioned in the beginning the importance of eternal perspective. These three scriptures will give the Christian who's truly seeking God eternal perspective, and they should be in our heart. Revelation 17:14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. There's a revelation alone that should lead a Christian into victory, and regardless of the circumstance in their life. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Those who are with him. Revelation 19:6-9. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Another revelation. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Again, eternal perspective. These things are real. But it really does irk you when people formulate a doctrine that has to take at least 65 scriptures, if not entirely out of the Bible, out of context, in order to deny the purpose of God. That is the purpose of God. He purposes that we will spend that time with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then finally, Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, or crowns. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.